Now, this fact draws our attention to a most important principle of the entire spiritual life, and that is the need for preparation. The need for preparation. We are usually, most of us, in far too much of a hurry. I don't mean just that we're working hard. I don't mean just that we're putting a lot of effort into things. I don't even mean that we're doing things quickly. I mean that we're just in too much of a hurry. And this means that we usually want results rather quickly. And because we're so anxious to secure the results, we very often neglect the preparations. We neglect the very conditions upon which the results depend. And this is one of the reasons, if not the main reason, why we so often don't succeed, why we so often fail. But on the other hand, if we make sufficiently careful preparations, we can usually quite safely leave the results to look after themselves. And we shall find that we succeed almost without noticing it. This applies, one might say, very much to meditation. If one wants to meditate, for instance, at home, how should one go about it? Not just sit down and just think you can meditate. Just maybe leave the telephone or finish doing the washing up and sit down and meditate. No, that isn't possible. What should one do? Well, in the East, there's a tradition that when one wants to meditate, you should first of all go into the room in which you're going to meditate, in which you're about to meditate. And very slowly and carefully, you sweep the room. You sweep the room, the floor, with a broom. And you dust the room. You tidy the room. If necessary, you dust the image of the Buddha there. Doing it all very slowly, gently, mindfully. And then in a meditative sort of mood, you change the flowers. You throw away the old flowers. In some Eastern countries, you throw them into running water, not on the dust heap. And you cut perhaps fresh flowers. You put them in the vase. You arrange them thoughtfully. You take your time over it. Then you light maybe a candle, maybe light a stick of incense. You look around just to see that everything is in order. Maybe the window open for a bit of fresh air, the door shut, to keep out disturbances. Then you arrange your seat, make sure it's placed square. That if you're sitting on a piece of cloth, it's properly folded, and then you sit down. Just adjust your clothing, put your feet into the proper posture, your hands. And even then, very often, you won't start meditating. You'll recite the refuges, the precepts, a few invocations to the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas. And then you will start meditating, and only then. And if one proceeds in this way, preparing, paving the way, then there's a very much greater chance of success. Not just with regard to meditation, even with regard to comparatively ordinary daily activities. If you want to write something, if you want to paint a picture even, even if you want to cook, the secret lies in the preparation. And it's just the same with regard to this matter of the arising of the bodhicitta, the awakening of the bodhi heart. One should not even think of becoming a bodhisattva. One should not even think of becoming a bodhisattva. It's not anything that you can become. It's not anything that you can sort of go into, follow a course, get a certificate, you're a bodhisattva. I'm sorry to say that in the East there are, even in the East there are, establishments which give certificates of this sort, and which people get framed and put up on their wall for all to see, that I'm a stream entrant or I'm a bodhisattva and so on. It's a sort of ecclesiastical rank or dignity, which is nonsense. So it's not a question of that. One shouldn't even think of developing the bodhicitta. One can't even do that. One can't even think of it. It's out of the question. It's a waste of time. But one can very well think of creating within oneself the conditions which will enable the bodhicitta to manifest.